Next, we have Dee Dee, which I'm so excited. I heard Dee Dee three women's retreats ago. Is that when you were the MC? Was it three? I think it was three ago. Anyway, that was my first. I just come to Emmanuel. That was my very first women's retreat. I knew no one. And I just show up and she was the MC and it was wonderful. I didn't tell her that. Dee Dee, you might recognize, she does a lot of Bible studies and she is at the welcome, the guest reception table. You might see her lovely face when you're walking through the atrium. She's the mom of two boys, which that's exciting. I'm sure, I'm hoping that she'll share some of those stories with us. So let's welcome Dee Dee up.
So, are you guys ready for summer? The enthusiasm is overwhelming. Well, I made a decision that when I was asked to do this a few months ago, I said, you know, it's almost June. We can have fun with this. So we're going to have kind of a beach theme throughout and some really great times together. I'm looking forward to being with you guys. It's a wonderful opportunity. I said to Michelle Jones earlier today, one of the things that I've learned throughout my life as a mom, through my career, being a Sunday school teacher and leading Bible study, that when you teach it, you learn it best. So a lot of the themes that we're going to talk about tonight are things that I need to be reminded of on a daily basis, so I hope that'll be helpful to you as well. I had the opportunity to listen to a lot of the presentations you guys have had throughout the year on the MP3 and even knew how to make the technology work. It was like super exciting, but some great talks. And I want to say to you that tonight, I will touch maybe briefly on some things relative to parenting, but I feel like that landscape was really well covered. I'm going to talk a little bit about who you are and who you are in Christ and what you do with that relative to this season of your life, but also in the grand scheme of things relative to pointing towards eternity. Does that sound okay to you? Can't hear you? That's my girls. Okay. Let's see if my technology works. That is so cool when it does that. I'm going to put my reading glasses on. There are some really neat themes that we're going to talk about tonight, but this first verse that's up here, Tammy, will you read that verse for us, please?
Yes. I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget you.
So often we feel in life that so much is happening around us, and are we of any significance? And to each one of you, you're uniquely made, uniquely formed. When you see this quote by Roy Lesson up at the front, he's speaking about you're uniquely crafted and gifted, and what he wants you to take away from that is that you should celebrate who you are in Jesus Christ. That's a really important lesson. I didn't get it till I was about 30 years old when I came to saving faith in Christ. So there was a lot of things that I got messages from the world prior to that point in time, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I think if I'm not mistaken, we're going to try to give you guys copies of these slides if any of you are interested in having them after the fact. I wanted you to know that on your table there are highlights, little cards that have the highlight messages that we're going to speak about. What I wanted to start off with is I've got a quote up here on my little, this is my show and tell table. Three friends said, do you want me to help you? And I said, no, I'm playing store. Some of you have heard me refer to my little yellow room. This is on a little side table where I spend a lot of time in prayer, in Bible study, reflection with God, and it says, only speak words that make souls stronger. It's a life motto of mine that so often we get negative messages in this life. Would you agree that this is meant to be one that'll be an encouragement to you as you leave tonight? Mother's Day. How many of you celebrated Mother's Day yesterday? Yeah. So USA Today, the forthright authority of all things done with polls, they did a poll last year, and only 40% of moms liked what they got for Mother's Day. So that statistic just really, really disturbed me, because in the end, is it really about gifts? Is it really, what do you think? Is it about gifts? No. It really is about the relationships we have, and I will say it to you probably three times tonight, the best gift, the best job I've ever really been given, second to saving faith in Jesus Christ, is being married to Buzz and having two amazing boys. And I got to have brunch with Chris yesterday. He gave me a C.S. Lewis book. He keeps building my library. I don't know if I need to learn something or, no, it was great. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. But it disappointed me that the survey was all about what do we receive in terms of gifts. And what that says to me is something really, really significant. And it's one of the themes I want to spend time with tonight. Let's go ahead, and I'm going to open us up in prayer. If you guys will join me in prayer, please. Father, thank you for the gift of your presence, your word that guides us this evening for a wonderful gathering of fellowship. You've taught us in 1 Peter 4:11 that any of us speak, we should do so with the very words you place in our heart through the Holy Spirit. If any of us serves, that we should do so with the strength that you provide, so that in all things you will be praised. Father, it is a joy to be here. I've enjoyed this journey to prepare. This group of women love you. They love their children. They love their families. Thank you so much for us being with you this evening. We love you. Amen. So the highlights you've got in front of you. One of the first things that we're going to talk about is shine brightly, be a reflection of Jesus. When I was asked to do this talk, I found this. I go to Hallmark stores. For some of you that know, I like to send cards. And my father made a comment years ago that I should have worked for Hallmark or the U.S. Postal Service. And the last time I was in Hallmark, there was this little thing that says, be you. And it's got, you know, be you courageously, be wholeheartedly, unapologetically, but I added, be you by reflecting Jesus. And what I really reflected on about this is there's a lot of emphasis in our world about who we are instead of whose we are and whose are we. We belong to who? God. There are some things that are happening in our society that I think are really fascinating, and I hope that you guys can put in perspective how it relates to your life and your season and where you're at. I call it the self-esteem battle, and Tammy did an amazing book review, Tim Keller's book, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. Did any of you get a chance to read that book? If not, it's on the reading list I gave you. It's a short read. It's about 45 pages, right? Tiny little book. It's a good one. But the whole concept behind it is instead of thinking more of ourselves, instead of thinking less of ourselves, how about just thinking about ourselves less? And what the point of that is that we should just simply be living our lives and in being able to embrace who we are, made uniquely by God. Some of the things that came out in the book, but in other things that I have seen, is that we put a lot of emphasis in terms of comparison, be it things that are relative to social media. And I'm not saying that that is inherently wrong, but sometimes I get the sense that between Facebook and maybe, I don't know so much Pinterest, I think Pinterest is probably pretty fun, but there's a lot of things out there. I know you're going to get me to do it, and I'm going to try, I promise. But the thing is that in all of that, sometimes I think we put a public face instead of the private personal face. Is that? My husband's an airline pilot with Southwest Airlines, and he was with a Navy pilot just a couple weeks ago. And from this guy's profile on Facebook, you would think everything was wonderful in his life. And in three different trips of traveling with my husband over three different days, he poured out his soul to my husband, and it was completely different than what was on his Facebook profile. And Buzz and I prayed about that. You know, what is it that people feel they have to portray instead of just being real and who they are and what their life struggles are? The other thing I have there is, I don't know if any of you have heard of some of the popular books, particularly for women in the last couple years, Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. There was a book written by Deborah Spar. She's the president of Barnard College, and it's called Wonder Women. In those two books, there was a lot of emphasis about, you know, leaning in and doing all that you can do. There was a real reflection, though, of what has happened to women in our modern age. And some of you may have felt this. I know that I have. When I grew up in the 60s and 70s, you know, the Barbie doll, she transformed from being Princess Barbie, beauty pageant Barbie, to being astronaut Barbie, biochemist Barbie. And so the message that got sent to all of us was, you can be anything you want to be. Is that you can be anything you want to be. So how did that get translated? Now go be everything. what has happened in our society, and I'm not trying to diss Martha Stewart or a lot of the things that are out there, but there's almost this perfectionist tendency of what are we doing? You know, it's all about what we accomplish and what we have, and instead of just simply who we are. I'm going to put a plug in. Carolyn McCulley is coming here May 29th. That book, The Measure of Success, for me was the wonderful counter argument, better perspective, Christ-centered perspective about who we are supposed to be. She co-wrote it with a stay-at-home mom who's a blogger by the name of Nora Shank. It has a biblical perspective that I think is so much healthier. Let me put it in a personal perspective for you guys. It's a story that I prayed about if I should share it or not, but I decided most of you know me, so I can tell you warts and all, because there are good lessons learned from people. And at 57, you would think that I would almost know what I'm doing, but I don't get that. All right, let me tell you, I got the opportunity last May, almost a year ago. It'll be a year ago this week. I got to go to a wonderful thing. I got to see Beth Moore up at Hershey Park with 7,000 women. And it was her Living Proof Live, and it was this wonderful experience, and it was a mountaintop event, and the whole theme was you are unique, you are gifted, all the things that we're talking about tonight. God has made you who you are. Celebrate that. At the same time, I was there with my best friend from college. Her name is Diane, and Diane is one of the sales, she's in sales for the Washington Post. And I had said to her during the car ride up to Hershey, Pennsylvania, you know, I know we're not supposed to covet anything in this life, but I've always been envious that you get to go to all these black tie affairs with the Washington Post. And she said, you mean the White House Correspondents' Dinner? And I said, yeah, that's one of them. I've always thought that'd be kind of cool to, you know, show up and see all those cool people. And she said, do you have a dress? And I said, do I have a dress? And I did. I had this gorgeous dress that I had worn to an event in Florida 2 years earlier. Ladies, it was at Disney World. I was being given the equivalent of a Lifetime Achievement Award, which means I was old. And it was cobalt blue, you know, one shoulder beading. It had this huge train. And my husband said, you know, if you're going to do it, I guess you're going to do it right. So I called up Buzz and I said, Diane wants to take me to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and I have the dress. He said, you know that, he said, that expensive dress? I said, yes. So we came running home. I go downtown. I had to get dressed in the garage, in the back of my car. Supposedly the Washington Post suite had been closed. I was supposed to get makeup and hair, but they had given it away to somebody famous. So I got dressed and I meet Diane, and she said, well, before we go into the receptions, we're going to walk the red carpet. We're going to walk the red carpet. I said, no, we're not. We're not anybody. She said, no, I've done this before. It's really cool. I said, okay. So she snuck me behind this partition, and I'm a rule follower. I mean, my whole career was in security. I follow rules. And I come around this partition with Diane, and we're right behind all the gang from the Today Show, okay? And she said, she had two executives that were in tuxedos, and she said, just walk and wave to the bank of 100 cameras. Just keep waving. So I'm walking with my train, and I'm waving, and all of a sudden, in the distance, I hear over a microphone, you are no talent. You are no talent. Get off the red carpet. This is in front of hundreds of people. Hunt, you are no talent. And afterwards, you know, we scurried off. Well, the reason was is because they had a list of who the famous people were that were going to be coming through, and pictures were going to be taken. What was the God lesson? I felt like lightning was hitting me. So I had a mountaintop experience at Beth Moore. I'm unique. We are gifted. Identity in Jesus. And then I'm no talent. But that was from a worldly perspective. Does that make sense to you guys? And I prayed about sharing that with you because too often, where do we get those messages? From the world. And does what the world think of you matter? No, it matters what God thinks of you. Amen? Okay, well, that went over well. All right, let's move on. So I really thought it was important to use that example so then I could go right to a biblical example so I'd have some more credibility instead of, oh, and the lesson learned, you should never wear a dress that has a 6-foot train at any event like that. More people stepped on me, and eventually I had to sweep it up and put it over my arm. I looked like a Roman god. You know, it was, and this year I'm not going. So anyway. What I love about the story of Mary and the alabaster jar, for those of you that know that story, that she came to the feet of Jesus, she broke open an alabaster jar of perfume and poured out everything. that she had. And in this, I pulled from a wonderful devotional by Anne Graham Lotz, that she gave up everything that she had, you know, her reputation, her pride, herself, poured it at the feet of Jesus, gave everything without expecting anything in return. That, to me, is the teaching point, that we need to be living our lives where we give things out with nothing in return. So be praying about that. What is it that we do every day that we can just do it without anything being given to us in return? The verse, well, it's from Valley of Vision. A friend of mine gave me that devotional book last year. While Jesus is representing me in heaven, how can I reflect him on earth? Our goal is to be reflecting him. I did want to mention to you, if any of you have never seen Alabaster before, my buddy Deshua went to Israel, and she brought me back this beautiful little alabaster votive. See, there is a candle in there. And I have it on my nightstand at night, and I turn it on very often. It's a beautiful thing. So if you want to, come up and touch it at the show and tell table later. All right. So next, everybody say embrace the journey. This cartoon is for you, Bethany Drum. And if you can't see it... is it in your office? So this is a wonderful artist by the name of Lee. She has her own company called Curly Girl Designs, and you'll see a couple of these in here. But since all great journeys start with a single step, you should probably have on a cute pair of shoes. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Michelle, will you read the verse for us? Thank you. That is one of Kathy Holly's favorite verses. It's one of mine as well. Jesse Johnson in April talked through a piece of the Philippians series that he was doing that none of us in this life are ever going to achieve perfection. None of us will. And we get a little wrapped up by some of the things I've talked about earlier, that we get a little too focused on being perfect, right? All those messages the world send to us. In fact, what we are to do is to strive for excellence. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it excellently unto God, not men. And when we focus on pleasing him with the decisions we make in our lives, how we parent, how we handle just relationships, how we handle our jobs, whatever it may be, that is where he is glorified and honored. A wonderful example of this, I just finished a Bible study by Kelly Minter with my group. We're called the BBs, the Bible Babes. We just finished a study on Ruth. So I talked to you a little bit about Mary and the pouring out of the alabaster, the perfume from the alabaster. What I loved about our study of Ruth, many I know have studied Ruth in this room, but the message that I get from Ruth and the example that she sent was that being consistent in the simple acts of faithfulness is what God is glorified by, and it gives us a sense of purpose. The thing that touched me the most, though, about that was she was doing what she was called to do. It wasn't even that she was questioning it, but you'll note that if you read through the book of Ruth, it's a short one. There's not many words that she shares. It is demonstrated what? In her actions. And I like this. It was from something that I read in our study. Kelly Minter said, her faithfulness was not bright and shiny. You can add in Didi words, glitter and bows. But she followed God's lead in obedience one step at a time. So you're taking care of little hands, little people, in a myriad of ways that can be tireless, and sometimes you feel like it's mundane and thankless. Some of you work outside the home, and you're driving day in and day out to work tirelessly, maybe without thanks. You need to reflect upon the fact that you're honoring God in all that you do, and that keeps it all in perspective, I think. Take refuge in his wings. You're going to notice that I have up here this concept. Everybody talks about work-life balance. There was a big article in the Washington Post last week all about balance and what millennials want. And it's interesting to me because I've changed it. And you know, many of you know that I don't use capital letters very often in my life. I think everything looks better, lowercase. But in this case, I put life in all caps, work. I made a decision a very long time ago. For some of you that don't know my background, I was in the security career field for 33 years. Buzz is a naval aviator. I knew that I was going to have to follow him around in his career field. And we were out in Northern California, and I was about to have Chris. Chris is turning 25 this month, and I had worked for almost 13 years in the security field, and I made a decision to go in and talk to the man that had mentored me and guided me, and I said, you know, I really love what I do, but being a mom is my top priority. So the priorities had always been, came to saving faith in Christ at the age of 30, and it's God, family, and then work. I loved what I did, and I felt like God used it for his good purpose. But the thing that I thought was so important was to make sure I kept my priorities straight. And when I sat my boss down, I said, here's what I want to do. This is in January of 1990. I said, I'd like to telecommute 3 days a week. And keep in mind, ladies, Mac computers were about this big, and they were dial-up modems, okay? It was like that. And I said, I'd like to telecommute 3 days a week and then come in to do teaching and training 2 days a week. And he said, I think we'll give that a try. I stepped out of a senior management position because it was difficult to manage 50 people and all of that. I stepped down into a staff-related role. But you know what? Why I decided I'd share that with you guys tonight. Some of you may be in a season where you're home celebrating that. I did that too. Some of you might work outside the home. Two of my girlfriends pulled me aside after that decision was made, and they said, what made you think you had any right to request that arrangement? And I said to them, you never know until you ask. And let me tell you why. Because I had worked really hard up to that point in time. I'd worked almost 13 years. I'd gotten a master's degree. And Buzz and I were looking for some flexibility. And I knew that I probably wouldn't be working as we traveled around the country with his military career. Why do I share that with you? I want you to celebrate every season you have in your life. But be clear about your giftedness and what God wants you to do with that. And if you feel like there's an opportunity for you to do something, either now, today, so many wonderful opportunities. If you want to do a home-based business or do something that is in ministry, don't be afraid to ask. That was my life lesson, and it was a really valuable one. So I hope that's helpful to you. The other thing I wanted to share with you is I love starfish. And all of you have a starfish on the top of your little card. Buzz was like, my husband was like, what is this? I said, they're all getting starfish. So he said, are you going to tell that starfish story? I said, yes. So the starfish story. Anybody know what the starfish story is? Oh, it's a wonderful story. It goes with my beach theme. Have you noticed that I match my slides too? Okay, cool. I meant to tell you that part up front. Anyway, and I've had this for a while, so it's not like I went and bought a new outfit. I used to, when I did speaking for my career, I'd buy a new suit for every set of PowerPoint slides, and Buzz said, no, make the slides match suits in the closet. So anyway, the starfish story, beautiful story. And I think it goes along with the whole concept of embrace the journey. Whatever season you're in, make a difference every single day. There was a man that was standing on the beach, and he was picking up starfish, thousands of them on the beach, and he kept throwing them into the water. And a passerby came by and said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm throwing starfish back into the ocean. And the passerby said, well, why? And he said, well, I'm trying to make a difference in the lives of these starfish. And the passerby said, you're not going to be able to save all of these starfish. You can't make a difference. He picked up one starfish and he threw it into the ocean, and he said, I made a difference in that one's. The whole concept for me, what I want you guys to think about, is every single day, how do you make a difference in the life of your child, in the life of your family members, those around you? And what I mean by that is being able to talk to your neighbors, having friendships here at MOPS. What do you do to encourage each other? If the Holy Spirit places somebody on your heart, dropping them a card, making a call, dropping an email, God wants you to celebrate by making one step at a time a difference in each person's life. Okay, so be sure to celebrate the many small things, bright days, good friends, and anything with sprinkles. This is a fun one for me. I've talked to some of the gals. I wanted to really put emphasis, as we send you off for summer, about collecting moments and not things. Who would like, Deshua, could you read that for me?
Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see, Hebrews 11:1.
Thank you. So the confidence needs to be in a whole different perspective. Instead of what's in front of us, how can we celebrate who we are in Christ and make the most of our days? One of my favorite verses, I have a verse almost every year, and 2014 was, Be Still and Know I Am God, Psalm 46:10. When I go to that Beth Moore conference in Pennsylvania, my best buddy from college, Diane, she moved us around four times in that arena until she found the seats that she liked for us. And I go to pull down my seat, and what was in my seat? Be still and know I am God. The women that were in the surrounding churches around Hershey, Pennsylvania, had done 7,000 of these and put them in every chair. So Diane moved me four times. I pulled down. Do you think God had a message for me there? What do you think? So, of course, I taped it into my Bible so I wouldn't forget. But the thing is, in here, that we find that self-reliance is going to fail us every time. Would you agree? When we rely too heavily on ourselves and our own strength, it's going to fail us every time. And this is a quote. Deshua gave me a whole book of quotes, and I loved this one the best. Even a bee can be too busy making honey to savor the taste. Right? We can be so busy about great, good, God things. But in the end, if you're not taking time to embrace the moments, that's not what it's all about. Temporary versus eternal perspective. Temporary says this life is all there is, and that's what a lot of our world focuses on. The eternal perspective, where you're going to spend eternity, and knowing that God's got you is what matters really most. I wanted to share one other personal story with you guys before we close out. I say it's 30 years in a drawer. So I made the decision last year to step away from my career of 33 years. And you need to know I had done it pretty much part-time the whole time I raised the boys. I went back to work full-time for 3 years to run the company that I had been the consultant for. And last January, it became clear that that was a completed work, that God had given me what I needed in that career field. And it was my husband who said, I really want you to pursue ministry. I really want you to pour into the lives of others. And now I'm getting to help with our mentoring ministry and do Bible study and do a whole bunch of neat things that are a real blessing in my life. It's that open nest season, and that's Carolyn McCulley will talk about that. But I want you guys to know, to put in perspective how temporary this life is. I came home and I was packing up a lot of things, and I decided to save copies of some of my speeches, and I had been given that, you know, that equivalent of a lifetime achievement award. And you know what? I have an IKEA. If any of you have been in my little yellow room or want to come by my house anytime, you're more than welcome. But in my little yellow room, I've got this little IKEA cabinet, and it's this one drawer is about 5 inches high, 24 inches wide, entire 33-year careers in one drawer. Let me close out. I'd like everybody to take a deep breath with me. So one of the things I got to discover this past year is a thing called holy yoga. And I've learned how to breathe. At the age of 56, almost 57, I now know how to do ocean breathing, and I know how to do deep breathing. And you know what the statistics show? That if you do deep breathing 5 minutes a day, you'll be nicer to everybody. But if you do deep belly breathing 5 minutes a day, you'll have the lung capacity of an 80-year-old. I mean, a 20-year-old when you're 80. Isn't that amazing? The reverse is true, that if you don't do deep belly breathing, you have the lung capacity of an 80-year-old at 20. I guess we're all past that. I'm just teasing. So the thing is, I want you all to remember to pause and breathe. Everybody, take a deep breath again. The verse up at the top, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We were not created to be stressed out, frustrated, angry. And I know in Northern Virginia, that's extremely difficult. Buzz always talks to me about driving, put, you know, a car length between you and every car length for every 10 miles an hour. I tell him if I did that, I'd never get out of the driveway. You know, it's, right? So, I mean, again, so let's just keep it all in perspective. So the other thing I wanted to say as we close out is that I have learned to be the secret of being content in any and every situation, Philippians 4:12. One of my first mentees, Tyler Wiley, gave me that as a gift in my Bible last year. She said, always focus on contentment and remembering that you may not have everything, but you can make the best of everything.